Welcome to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. This is Jimmy Lakey, and I'm delighted that you are joining us for this half hour. You can reach Call to Freedom at Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237, or by going to the website at www.freedomstreet.org. If you want to leave a message or order a Word Power Daily Reading Bible Guide or a Freedom Street Express newsletter, you can call us toll-free at 1-877-917-7256 and leave your name and address, including your zip code. If you want to talk to Barbara right now, she is expecting your call. You may call that same toll-free number, 1-877-917-7256, to speak to her. And now, let's join Barbara in the studio.
On this Encore show, Darren introduces the program by quoting Job 28:12. Where can wisdom be found? And where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. But God understands its way, and he knows its place. Darren goes on to talk about wisdom described in Proverbs 8, where he explains that wisdom is what you search for with all your heart. Because when you have wisdom, you have everything to understand the ways of God. Now let's join the program.
Love to hear from you. Always pray for you. If you leave a message on the office phone, I always take that to prayer. Barbara does too. And the same with your letters. Some of you wonder, I wonder if these guys are going to read this letter. They're just going to take my check out and put it in the bank and forget me. Doesn't work that way at our place. What we do is, we appreciate your giving very, very much. That's what keeps us on the air and keeps the bills paid. But you know what really keeps things going is that matter of prayer. And if somebody doesn't pray, nothing moves really in the positive in the spiritual world. And by that I mean in righteousness. We have to pray to see things get done. And prayer really is where the action is, folks. Now, this morning, Barbara and I were looking at Job 28, and we were seeing some things going on here. What's going on in there with my engineers? I don't have to go in there and talk to these young guys. Hey, what's going on? But anyway, here's what it says in Job 28, verse 12. Where can wisdom be found, and where is the place of understanding? Man does not know its value, nor is it found in the land of the living. Let me read that again. Man does not know its value. Now, we're talking about wisdom. Nor is it found in the land of the living. The deep says, it is not in me, and the sea says, it is not with me. This chapter ends up by saying some of these things. When he imparted weight to the wind... And I have to tell you, folks, I've read clear through this many times, but I never thought about God putting weight to wind. And yet, if you're in a strong windstorm like we've had here in the last few days on the Front Range of Colorado, you would say, yes, there is weight to wind. And meted out the waters by measure, when he set a limit for the rain and a course for the thunderbolt, then he saw it and declared it. He established it and also searched it out. And to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom. And to depart from evil is understanding. Let me read that again. And some of us seek for wisdom. We look all over, oh God, I gotta have answers. I gotta have, I gotta know what to do here. Well, here he's saying, and to man he said, behold, the fear of the Lord, that is wisdom, and to depart from evil is understanding. Now, I know I'm speaking to some of you today that are involved in business, and you're saying, I need answers. I mean, I've gotta have some answers here. Well, let's go over to Proverbs chapter 8, and let's put some more things here with wisdom. And if you're reading through the Bible this year with us, you'll find that I've been reading here from some things that are in a current Bible reading. And if you don't have one of those Bible reading guides, we'll be glad to send you one. They're $5, but it will lay out a little scripture in the Old Testament and some in the New every day. And if you just discipline yourself to get through that, I think you're probably looking at 15 to 20 minutes a day. You say, I don't know if I have that much time. Hang on. If you're taking notes today, write this number down. 168. That's the number of hours in a week. Now, I often challenge people, say, let's get down. Let's talk about it. How much time do you spend commuting? How much time do you spend sleeping, eating? How much time do you spend watching the boob tube? If you watch the boob tube long enough, it'll turn you into a boob. You don't want to do that. Hey, come on, we need to really get honest with ourselves. You say, well, I work two jobs. You still have time to read through the Bible in a year. And if you don't make your propensity or your you really say, well, I'll do that. In other words, if you don't get your values really straightened out here, and your priorities, I should say, your values should push you to do your priorities right, you won't get in the Word. I mean, you'll get busy. You won't do that. You'll come in and click on the television, and before long, why, you've watched too much television, you don't have time to read the Word. So if we look here at Proverbs 8, and I like to go over to verse 10, and I love this more. I should have this with me in the King James. I like it better in the King James, but here's what it says. Take my instruction and not silver, and knowledge rather than choicest gold, for wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. Now, some of you are struggling with a business decision today, and this has been heavy on my heart. I know I'm speaking to a lot of you folks that are in sales, you're self-employed, you're contractors, you're subcontractors of all kinds, you're in the building trades, you're out there working on all these new ideas for internet commerce and e-commerce and you name it, okay? And we just watched yesterday, supposedly the biggest business in the world being put together between AOL.com and Time Warner. Well, I don't know how that's going to positively affect the gospel one way or another, but I know there's a lot of things going on out there, and a lot of you are scrambling to say, where can I be? At what point can I be to give myself the greatest advantage? Well, here it says, wisdom is better than jewels, and all desirable things cannot compare with her. Jesus, by the way, in 1 Corinthians 1:30, is made unto us wisdom. And if you don't embrace Jesus, you don't embrace the name of Jesus, the blood of Jesus, the Word of Jesus, and He is called the Word, and He is the Word, you're going to be on the outside of wisdom. Now, let me tell you, God can take you, and if you get into the wisdom of Scriptures, He can take you little by little by little by little by little, and He keeps adding that up, and all of a sudden, you've got a major thing going. But if your life has been full of change, you're not tapped into the wisdom that's available to you in Scripture. You need to get established, and He wants to establish you. Let me go on reading here. Now, I'm reading out of Proverbs 8, verse 12. I, wisdom, dwell with prudence, and I find knowledge and discretion. The fear of the Lord is to hate evil, pride and arrogance in the evil way. The perverted mouth I hate. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I am understanding, power is mine. Now, we talk about some of these power lunches. You know, we hear that today. Well, I'm going to a power lunch, man. We're going in there, we're going to exchange contacts and names, and I'll tell you, we're up and going. I mean, you can tell that by the briefcase I carry, and by the cell phone I carry, and by the watch I wear, and by the way I dress, and man, I'll tell you, I'm up and going. Well, take a look here. Counsel is mine and sound wisdom. I'm understanding, power is mine. By me, kings reign and rulers decree justice. By me, princes rule and nobles, all who judge rightly. I love those who love me. Now, this is wisdom speaking. And those who diligently seek me will find me. Oh, I like that. Those who diligently seek me will find me. Riches and honor are with me, enduring wealth and righteousness. My fruit is better than gold, even pure gold, and my yield than choicest silver. I walk in the way of righteousness, in the midst of the paths of justice. Here comes something many of you are looking for, an endowment. To endow those who love me with wealth, that I may fill their treasuries. The Lord possessed me at the beginning of His way. Wow. Now, there's another scripture here in Proverbs that says, kind of an interesting one, does not wisdom call and understanding lift up her voice? Now, here I'm going to give you a key to getting ahead in business. You go back one chapter to Proverbs chapter 7, go down to verse 4. It gives you something to say. And we're going to win this war or lose this war on our words, folks, I've got to tell you. Now, you say, Darren, are you talking about internet? Are you talking about email? Are you talking about e-commerce? I'm talking about the words that come out of your mouth, that come out of your spirit. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call understanding your intimate friend. This would be a great thing for you to do as you're driving, maybe from one commute to another or from one job to another, or maybe you're just commuting to your job. If you'd say, wisdom, you're my sister. Understanding, you're my intimate friend. Thus saith the Lord. You could say something like that. If you would say that every day, you would watch wisdom creep up on your decisions and your value judgments and so on. It would change your life. So here it is. Proverbs 7, verse 4. This is a great thing for you to say, because it says right here in Scripture, say to wisdom, you're my sister. call understanding your intimate friend. Let's take a call here. This is Darren.
Darren.
Hey, how you doing?
Okay, buddy. Hey, I've been listening to you for a long time, since Darren's coffee shop, actually.
Oh, good.
And basically where I'm at right now, wife's pretty much threatening to split it up and sell the house and so on and so forth, and I won't give you the whole rundown on it.
That's all right. How long have you been married?
12 years, and we were separated for 3 years.
First marriage?
Yes.
Kids?
Yeah, two boys.
How old?
11 and 9.
And what's the reason why the missus wants to split?
Well, you know something? There's probably a lot of things going into it, and I was unfaithful about 10 years ago and did my own thing, and I feel like...
How long were you in that, Dan?
A couple years.
Were you out of the house during that time?
Yes. It didn't start that way, but that's the way it ended up, yeah.
Okay. All right.
And basically, we got back together. I mean, I got myself back into church, and regardless of anybody's opinion, I feel like, you know, the Lord had his hand in that thing. And not only we got back together, I mean, we got into a house and kept going to church. And then, you know, little by little, I stopped going. And just like people in church told me, you know, don't stop coming once you get back together. And I did, you know, little by little.
Okay, what did you do when you stopped going?
Well, you know, started working every Sunday and just making excuses and, you know, drinking a little bit here and just feed my flesh a little bit, you know.
Yep.
And, you know the story. I mean,
Well, it says, you know, you can choose your sin, but you can't choose your consequences. Now, that's not out of scripture, but I had a pastor's wife say that to me one time many years ago, and she was right on.
Right.
You know, and all of us have done that. All of us have chosen a sin of some kind. But we haven't liked the consequences. And,
right.
You know, whatever. Well, so what's her excuse right now? What does she want to...
Well, basically what it is Darren, one thing I have found out that I've listened to other programs, people call in and start slamming the wife or the husband and that, and I'm at the point now where I'm trying to look at me, and I think one of the biggest problems is I'm very independent. I have been all my life, and... when things aren't going my way, I kind of shut things down. I do my own thing and kind of tune her out. And I've always been that way. You know,
okay,
even
right.
when I towards the end of going to church and that, I mean, I'd slip in after the worship and then slip out as soon as the message was over, you know,
okay,
and not get involved.
All right. So we're talking about independent. What else would you put on it?
I think there's a lack of trust because of the past. I think it's something that has always stayed with her. You know, and when
No. Let's talk about you first.
Okay.
Okay, you're independent. How about, would you say you're stubborn?
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you say you're prideful?
No, I don't look at myself as that. I mean, there may be some pride there.
Yeah, usually that goes along with stubbornness.
Okay.
I mean, I'm putting words in your mouth
in
sense there, but you know, sometimes we're proud. I'm proud that I don't give in easily.
Right.
You know, I'm proud that I'm strong, or I'm proud that I'm independent, doing my own thing. You know, I think for myself. You know, whatever goes with that package.
Sure.
What else would you say about you? What would she say about you?
I would think that she feels like I shut her out, and not just being independent, but you know, when I do certain things, like I have a sister I'm real close with. When I call her when the wife's not home, or you know, I had a credit card I never told her about, you know. I didn't go blow a bunch of money on myself, but it was something I wanted to do for myself. And I think when I do things like that, she feels like she can't trust me, and everything from the past starts stirring back up in her.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and she feels left out and like she can't trust me.
What kind of credit limit do you have on that card?
It's like $500.
Okay. What kind of balance do you carry on that?
About right now, probably almost all of it.
Okay. And those charges, what have you spent the money on that card?
Well, let's see. The only good thing I can remember that I've done on there is her car broke down once, and I actually used it for something good and rented her a car. But there's been a few trips to the liquor store on there.
Okay.
A few other things, you know, cash in my pocket, cigarettes, you know.
Okay. What else?
That's probably most of it.
Let me ask you this straight question.
Yes.
Any gifts for girlfriends?
No.
Okay.
You know what, Darren? That's the one peace of mind I got right now. I'm not going to say I never thought anything or I've never been tempted or had a few close calls, but the only thing I can say for myself right now is that that isn't in my face right now, and that's giving me some peace of mind. Is I'm not doing that.
Let me tell you this. You know, you wouldn't be a man in this culture if there wasn't temptation presented.
Right.
Because in this culture, you can't escape that. I mean, it's all over the place.
And I've come close. I'll be right up front.
Well, it doesn't mean, you know, it says when lust has conceived. And we're presented lustful presentations all the time. A lot of people in church world don't want to admit that, but it's true.
Right.
These lustful presentations come at us all the time, and it's just a job that we have to fight. I mean, we have to get up there and fight it with Scripture.
Right.
You know, I fight it with Matthew 5:8. It says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And some of these guys run around and say, well, you know, basically I'm a eunuch and I'm never tempted. Well, that's a bunch of nonsense.
Right.
I don't believe it. I think they're lying when they make that presentation.
Absolutely.
Well, okay. What else would she say about you?
Well, you know, we haven't been too romantic, you know, and we look at it different ways. I guess I look at it like, I want something to happen first, and then all the loving stuff comes after. She looks at it the other way. She wants the conversation and the caring and everything first, and then something happens after that.
You know, a lot of times a gal will shut down when she feels like you're holding out in some area of your life.
Right.
And gals know that. They're very sensitive type beings. That's the way they're created. And it may be, you know, as an example, a credit card. She senses something. She may not even know about the credit card yet, but she knows.
Yes, she does.
Well, yeah, but I know, but at some point she didn't know that.
Right.
Right? How long were you able to keep it from her?
Oh, over a year.
Okay.
Well, probably close to two.
All right. Well, if you think back, she's saying, you know, I don't have all of this man. I've got part of him, but I don't have all of him. I wonder what he's holding out on me.
Right.
Is he having an affair? Is he lying to me? Is he being honest?
She called me at work a few times, wondering why I left early and stuff like that. And
right.
It usually ends up being an argument. And another big thing for her...
You mean when you left early? What do you mean? Left early for work? Or?
Yeah, I just went to the store first or something like that. Wasn't doing anything wrong. Went to the store and then went to work and... call me at work and say, hey, you know, what'd you leave early for? Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of lack of trust. In the,
now, is this after the affair?
Yeah, this is just in the last 6 months or so. Okay. I mean, that thing's been over since 94.
Okay.
And, but I think another big thing for her is feeling left out, and that is that I have family, you know, actually somebody that you even know. I won't mention his name, but... being I don't have a lot of friends and I'm really not in covenant anywhere, I talk to this person in the family as more of a friend than family, and that really hurts her too, because she feels like I'm just getting together with him and putting her down, I think. And, mm-hmm. and you know, I talk to get the family involved, which I don't mean to. I mean, I don't run and slam her, but I think that really hurts, you know, when I call my family and she's doesn't know what I'm saying to him and doesn't know what I'm saying to her, you know, her side of the family.
Does she have family here?
Yeah, and see, I don't. And I'm not real close with anybody around her or anything, and part of her family is, has become a friend of mine.
Okay, now, what's her reason for saying, okay, I want to terminate this thing?
Just that we've been doing our own thing for so long, I guess, there, and she says it's, you know, we've been doing this for so long that, you know, we're living like roommates, and I don't want to keep going on with this. And
so you're married single?
Yeah, it seems like it sometimes, yeah.
Okay.
And she thinks that, you know, we'll be okay, you know, and the kids, there's a lot of the kids' friends that do this, and it's okay, which I think is a bunch of garbage. I think that's something the world just feeds us every day. Well, they'll be okay, and this will be all right, and, you know, you can always see them, and nothing's going to change. And
well, how serious are you about saving this marriage?
It's about as serious as I've been in anything in my life, I believe.
Okay. Do you think there's... What's your chances? What do you think the chances are of saving it?
I don't know if I even know how to answer that, Darren.
Well, I mean, do you think it's 50-50? Are you on the bubble?
Yeah. I mean, she hasn't brought anything up in about a week. Our schedules conflict a lot, so we haven't talked. And
let me ask you this.
Yeah.
What would you do to prove to God that you're serious and you want to save this marriage? Number two, what would you do to prove to her that you want to save this marriage? And number three, do you really love her? go with number three first.
Hope we get to that one last. Yeah, I think I do. I don't think we like each other sometimes, but deep down, I think I love her.
Well, every couple has their arguments.
Sure.
Okay, every couple one day says, you know, man, I don't know if I want to be married to you anymore.
Right.
You know, you get
right.
emotionally tangled up in some little word fight.
Right.
Have you ever been physical with her?
No.
Okay.
And you do your own thing for so long. It's hard. I mean, deep down, I she's the mother of my children. I feel like I love her, but we've been so far apart. It's hard to, you know, I don't know how to explain it.
You know, a lot of times, I'll just tell you straight out, you know, a lot of times because the woman is the mother of your children is not reason enough.
I agree.
To keep a marriage together.
I agree.
And
it's not like it used to be when we first got together.
Okay, did you live together before you got married?
Yeah, just for a short time.
Okay. Does she hold that against you?
No.
Okay. Did you have any counseling or prayer when you got back together?
No. And that's something I brought up. I'm totally for it. I even told her I'd go to counseling by myself.
Okay, how many gals were you with when you were away from her?
Just one. I ran right into somebody else's house, you know.
And did you live with that gal?
Yeah, I could never commit. That was the thing. She wanted me to.
I know, but you lived with her.
I actually have my own place, but I spend most of my time there, yeah.
Okay. Well, I'll tell you what happens, Dan, and that scrambles the egg, is that you go out and you have sex with this other gal.
Right.
You become one with her, in a sense. Then you decide whether you want to come back to your wife.
Right.
Okay, then you bring a composite identity back to her. You are primarily defiled,
right?
And now she is secondarily defiled. But the problem is there's defilement in the marriage.
Right.
What a lot of people don't do at that point is stop and say, okay, we want to cut off all the soul ties here. Not only that, we need to be cleansed here because there's defilement here. And your wife may feel subconsciously, subliminally dirty from, you know, the time where you were out there being stupid.
Sure.
That makes sense?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think for your marriage to have any chance of making it, you guys have to address that issue. And if I could talk to your wife, she would probably tell me, yeah, he repulses me at some level.
Yeah, she'll tell you that.
And I want to push him away. And finally, I've decided to quit fighting, and I just want out of here.
Right.
I don't know if that's where she is.
That's pretty close, I would say.
Okay.
Something about the part when she told me she could stick to her stomach around me kind of tipped me off.
Okay, yeah, I'd say that'd tip you off.
Yeah.
How frequently do you guys have sex?
Oh, it's been a long time. And, a couple, two or three times in 6 months, it would be a big deal.
That's kind of a giveaway, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely.
Well, okay, let's go back to the three questions. I think I've figured out the love deal. What about number one? What are you willing to do to show God you're really serious about this girl?
Well, the only thing I think I know to do, and I tried to run to church on my lunch break Sunday, right? And I couldn't find this place I wanted to go, and I'm running around, and I felt like he said to me on the way back to work, why are you going? Are you going for you? Because you need something now, because you've waited, and now you're in haste, and you're running, doing what you want to do? Or are you going because it's the Lord's day, and it's the Sabbath day? Are you going to worship me? So I feel like the only thing I can do to show him is to right now what I'm trying to do is clean up my act.
Okay, here's what I'm going to suggest. I think this would be good for you and for your wife and for whatever happens, and that's fasting.
Okay, I agree.
You know, fasting brings the flesh under.
Right.
And I think fasting also changes the individual. What she needs to see is a new man.
Yes.
Well, I would suggest that. I would suggest that now, for me, I'd go on a total fast. That would mean just water.
Okay.
I would recommend to you, I don't know how hard you work physically, but you might try just going on a juice fast.
Okay.
And I would suggest, pretty long fast.
Okay. Yeah, that's almost confirmation for me, I think.
You're really serious and said, God, I want you to burn all the lust, all the crap.
Right.
All the pride.
Right.
All the stubbornness out of me, because I need to be a new person. For you, first of all, Lord, for myself and for my family.
Right.
And, I'll tell you, when the husband changes, the head of the house, many times that just filters down in a wonderful way through mom and the kids.
Right.
But, you know, I think you've got your work cut out for you, but if you're serious, that's where I'd begin.
Okay.
And I would confess it all. before the Lord. Said, don't. I'd tell the Lord, don't leave any stone unturned inside of me. Turn me inside out and upside down because I need to be a new man.
Right.
Right now I'm a mess, Lord. You know it, but I'm admitting it. And I think when a guy gets that serious with God, and then I'd get in the Word, and I would consume the Word. I would start reading the book of Proverbs. I'd read a proverb every day. Proverb number
I've been
one.
I've hitting the Psalms really hard, but Proverbs.
That's good. Proverbs is good. You need
okay.
wisdom.
Okay.
All right. And I would read in the Psalms and in the Proverbs every day and in the Gospels.
Okay.
You ready to pray?
Yeah, I'm
Father
ready.
God, I believe my friend here is serious. I believe he's finally hit the wall. Now, Lord God, I ask as he cries out to you and as he goes into a time of fasting, that there would be no stone unturned, that you would show him things that he said no to for a long time. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for showing him that. I praise you, Lord. I just praise you. These are not horrible times. These are going to be great times. And I also pray for his wife right now. She's wounded. She's broken. Her heart has been seared. And, Lord, I ask, first of all, spiritually, that you would begin to meet her needs as her husband here fasts and repents and gets serious before you. And I thank you for that. Lord, I'm asking you for a miracle in this relationship. I don't believe it's all over. I believe it's salvageable. And I thank you for the promise in Jesus' powerful name. Amen.
Amen.
Are you on my mailing list, brother?
No, I'm not.
Okay. I want to put you on hold. I want to get your name and address.
That'd be great.
All right.
That'd
hold on. I'll be praying for you.
Thanks, Darren.
Get serious with God, man.
I will.
All right.
Thanks,
hold on.
Man.
As Darren prayed for this young man concerning his marriage, I hope you have garnered wisdom from their conversation. If you are in a difficult marriage or a bump in the road in your marriage, look within yourself first of all and ask God to change anything that might be in the way of having a marriage made in heaven, approved by God. Because Proverbs 8:34 says, "Blessed is the man who listens to me, watching daily at my gates, waiting at my doorposts. For he who finds me finds life and obtains favor from the Lord." Thank you for listening. And until the next time on Call to Freedom, God bless you and keep you.
Thank you for listening to Call to Freedom with Barbara Carmack. You may get in touch with Barbara at Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may leave your message at 1-877-917-7256. Call to Freedom is a listener-supported radio ministry. Barbara and her power partners invite you to come on board with us and become a network of hands holding up Call to Freedom ministry. Power partners support Call to Freedom with prayer and monthly financial support. You will be blessed supernaturally. We invite you to visit Call to Freedom's website, www.freedomstreet.org, where you can hear Barbara's daily radio broadcast 24 hours a day or order materials. You may share your praise reports and heart cries by mailing them to Call to Freedom, Box 370-367, Denver, Colorado, 80237. Or you may email us at BarbaraCarmack@freedomstreet.org. Until next time, remember, Jesus loves you, Barbara loves you, and take joy.